You already got a taste of our scripture reading for this morning. It comes to us from the Gospel of John, the second chapter. Michael shared the story with the children, and now I invite you to hear these words of scripture, the story of the wedding at Cana of Galilee. Chapter 2 of the Gospel of John, verses 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. May God bless this reading of his holy word to us today. Won't you pray with me? Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day. And it's hard for us to imagine that if he were alive today, he would be 90 years old. Right? "I have a dream," he so famously said. "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." What a powerful and moving speech that was. And today I can't give it more than a passing mention. But what I do want to center on is the powerful nature of having a dream itself. Having a dream itself. I mean, think of all that was motivated because Martin Luther King had a dream. He had a dream throughout his work in the civil rights movement. When was the last time you had a powerful and incredible dream? I think so often we kind of water down possibilities in our lives. We kind of dilute them, even though we know that they are worthy of thinking about or maybe daydreaming about. But what is it we do with dreams of quality and dreams of substance? Woodrow Wilson, our 28th president, once said some really dynamic words. We grow great by dreams. All great people are dreamers. They see things in the soft haze of a spring day or in the red fire of a long winter's evening. Some of us let these great dreams die, but others nourish and protect them and nurse them through bad days till they bring them to the sunshine and light, which always comes to those who sincerely hope that their dreams will come true. Dreams have a way of making us feel intensely alive. Through them, we live not behind closed doors where the air is stale and arid. We live behind open doors. Open doors of expanding vistas, open doors of expanding horizons, and we then can create a complete reorientation of our lives because of them. Just about every accomplishment, think about it, just about every accomplishment started with a great dream. Without a dream, without what if, possibilities never see the light of day. Obstacles become insurmountable. The future is hazy and just gloomy and grim, and our hope dies, right? Our dreams are like that magnet, you know, that pulls us forward out of the safety of our comfort zones into new and uncharted territories. New vistas that are there to be celebrated and experienced and enjoyed, and new vistas that, you know, just might be of God, right? Now, admittedly, some dreams are pipe dreams. A discerning spirit is necessary. It's important to, you know, determine the difference between what just might be the fanciful meandering of our minds and then what might be grounded in wise vision. Be that as it may, I think of the Bible and I think of all the folks in the Bible and I think about how they were just great dreamers. Think about Abraham and Sarah. Think about Isaac and Rebecca, too. Think about how those stirrings inside of Moses led him to dream of being liberated from the Egyptians. The prophets, they were dreamers, dreamers of the first order, as they called people's attention to what was important and held them to account. And Jesus, well, he just lived out God's dream practically with people day in and day out. There he was living out in his life God's dream. Paul carried that dream to the Gentile world. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29, verse 18. So our scripture passage this morning challenges us to just keep the realm of God's possibility out there and before us, especially when we just don't see evidence of it. Evidence maybe in the present. The setting is the feast, wedding of Cana in Galilee. Just a little side note here. In confirmation class, which I will be starting today at 4:30, one of the things I always talk about, the sacraments of the church. It's interesting that Protestants don't call marriage a sacrament, okay? Holy, sacred, yes, but not a sacrament. And why? Well, Protestants, I'm not saying anything is wrong with a different point of view, but Protestants look at those things that Jesus either had done to him and told others to do in his name. And Jesus was present at the wedding of Cana in Galilee. He did not perform the wedding. He was present there. So Protestants, that's where they get their understanding of sacraments. So two sacraments, Protestant tradition, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. So you've got a little taste of confirmation class right there. Information. So Jesus is present at this wedding in Cana of Galilee. Mom is there. She's concerned about wine running out and the embarrassment that it would cause and the worry, how will this party continue? And she speaks to Jesus about it. Nearby are six stone jars used for water for Jewish purification rituals. Each jar holds probably 20 or 30 gallons. So Jesus tells the servants to fill the jars up with water. They're filled to the brim. And then he says, draw some out. He takes that amount of is taken to the chief steward. And the steward tastes the water, now become wine. That's the story. Now let you in on what is hinted at in this text, because I believe that if we keep the text to a strictly literal meaning, there are some things that can be lost. The great amount of wine doesn't really have any correlation here to that particular wedding feast. 180 gallons of wine? No wedding party at that time would drink up 180 gallons of wine. So here, what is a point that needs to be made? The point is this. No need on earth can exhaust God's grace. No need on earth can exhaust God's grace. 180 gallons is this wonderful symbol that can be used, metaphor that can be used for how Jesus keeps the party going. Jesus keeps the party going and going and going, because no need on earth can exhaust the grace of God. And that's the dream that we need to hold on to. When we have true confidence in what Jesus is asking of us, we are called to see wine when we look at water, because our perspective is built on the ways of God's kingdom. We're called to see wine when we don't really see potential here. Or we're called to see wine when, it just seems like there's nothing to write home about. There exists in the seemingly unadorned present the potential for the glorious fulfillment of God's realm of possibility. Like the way a seed, it can become a tree. Like the way a little bit of yeast can become a whole loaf. Like, the way a mustard seed can become a full-blown, large, expansive bush. Oh, by the way, what about five loaves and two fish able to feed thousands of people? Jesus keeps the party going. No need can exhaust the grace of God. So what about us? What are we to be about the business of this January 20th, 2019? Does this apply to us? You better believe it does. We need to be about the business of recognizing God's potential and that it does exist. We need to be about the business of not giving up early on, shaking our heads in frustration. Oh, what are we supposed to do? We need to be about the business of trusting God's ability to do far more than we ask or think. Think about children. You know how they naturally incorporate the realm of possibility into their natural ways of playing. You give young children a present, What do they get excited about? They get excited about the box it comes in, and all of a sudden the box can become a fort, or it can become a mountain to climb. The wrapping paper can become a toy in and of itself as it is thrown up into the air. Ribbons can become the best fashion statement ever. Children know about the realm of possibility. They don't let themselves be confined to just what is so obvious. You know, I wonder if Jesus were to walk into our sanctuary this morning, I wonder what questions he might have for us. I think he might have a few. I think he might have a few, especially because we are recalling the story today. Might have a question like, do you see how all around you water is being turned to wine? And you don't recognize it? Have you ever experienced the healing of a relationship? That's water being turned to wine. Have you ever had a job loss that then led to greater and greater opportunities? Water turned to wine. And just think about how Jesus might ask this. Are you focused on things that create a distance between you and other people? Maybe you're turning water, or maybe you are turning wine back into water. Are you giving in to negative ways of thinking all the time, and you form this kind of structure and construct of reality for yourself that's so narrow and so contracted and so small? You're turning wine into water. Are you skeptical, or are you even cynical? You prefer to keep on a kind of blindfold that doesn't allow you to see the beauty of God and the luminous nature of God's glory right in your very midst. Wow, that's changing wine into water. And now here's a $60 million question for you. Do you assume someone else will take on what really is your responsibility for keeping this community of faith faithful and vibrant and alive? If you are doing that, maybe you're changing wine into water. I would have to say that last comment, right? But it has meaning. It has meaning for us here. So next Sunday is our annual meeting Sunday, and we will have the opportunity to celebrate all the varied ways that water has been changed to wine throughout the past year, to recognize the way God's Spirit has been moving within us and among us. But God continues to expect our partnership. Without our partnership, it's the same as, you know, you have a river and God's movement and flow is just going naturally downstream, and there we are trying to push it back upstream, right? The truth of the matter is, no matter our level of engagement here at our church and what happens here at Wilson Memorial Church, no matter our level of engagement, God's realm of possibility always remains, calling us to take hold of it with abandon, calling us to rejoice in the fruitfulness that comes with the beautiful flourishing of love, the flourishing of love, the wine of life. That flourishing happens when we work in partnership with our God, when we work to connect with one another, when we work for and connect with the needs of the world. I don't know about you, but I think, you know, far be it from us to say, we don't see the realm of God's possibility as a possibility. That's the surest way to turn wine back into water. So the good word for us today is, let us be about being dreamers. Dreamers with our God. Partners in service. It's never too late. No need on earth can ever exhaust God's grace. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, you inspire us and renew us daily. Sometimes we are just a tired people, but we fail to keep our priorities right. Help us center on your dream, not only for our lives, but for this congregation, your community of faith. Help us keep from turning wine into water. But help us always know that there is no need that we have that can ever exhaust your grace. May we trust in you. In Christ's name, amen.